Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Daf Dalet. We are on the top of the Amud and resuming our discussion regarding care that one is meant to take when it comes to verbal expressions. One is meant to avoid direct reference to a tragedy. And in fact, the Gemara today begins with a story. A story that occurred with Rav. Who was Rav? Says the Gemara, Rav Bar Achva de Rabbi Chiya. He was the son of the brother of Rabbi Chiya, Ubar Achse, and he was also the son of Rabbi Chiya's sister. So Rabbi Chiya had a stepbrother from his father's side by the name of Ivoy, who was Rav's father. He also had a stepsister from his mother's side by the name of Ima, who was Rav's mother. So Rav was a nephew of Rabbi Chiya on two accounts. Ki salak lahasam, when Rav went up to Eretz Yisrael and visited Rabbi Chiya, Amar lei, so Rabbi Chiya, his uncle, turned to him, Ivoy kayam, my brother Ivoy, is he alive? Is he doing well? And actually, both Rav's parents, Ivoy, who was Rav's father, Ima, who was Rav's mother, had already passed away. And Rav didn't want to relate directly to the tragedy, so he responded cryptically. So in response to this question, is my brother Ivoy alive? Rav responded by saying, Amar lei, Ima kayemes? He responded with a question, is my mother, whose name is Ima, is she alive? Is she doing okay? Meaning, you're asking me about my father. Why don't you ask me about my mother? Amar lei, so Rav Chiya responded, okay. If you insist, I'll ask you about that. Ima kayemes? Is Ima, that's your mother's name, is she alive? Is she okay? Amar lei, so now Rav again responded cryptically. Ivoy kayem? Is my father alive? Meaning, I haven't yet responded regarding that first question. So now Rabbi Chiya got the message that apparently he was trying to imply that both his father and mother already passed away. And as a result of that news, Rabbi Chiya has to go ahead and observe Dine Avelus. Now, unlike the standard mourning period of 7 days, of 30 days, in this case, since the news had arrived very late, it's called Shmu'a Rechaika. So when the news arrives way after the fact, past 30 days of the actual incident, then just a minimal observance of Avelus is required. Just a one-day kiyum of Halachas of Avelus. So as a result of this news, Rabbi Chiya turned to his servant. Amalei l'shamei turned to his servant, and he told him, Chalois li'menolai, remove my shoes, so I can go ahead and conduct myself like an oval. However, only for a short time, v'hoylich keilai achar le'beis ha-merchatz, and bring my begadim behind me to the beis ha-merchatz. I'm going to rinse off and conclude my avelus. So he's only going to observe avelus for a very short time. Says the Gemara, Shema min atlas. Indeed, we learn three halachis from this incident. Shema mina oval asur b'nilas asandal. Then oval is asur to wear shoes. Shema mina, number two, we learn shmo rechayka. A distant piece of news, such as this case, where the news arrived way after the fact. Eina neheges elo yom echad. You only keep avelus for one day. Shema mina, number three, we learn that you don't even need to keep avelus for the entire day. Mikzes hayem kikuloi. Even observing a portion of a day is tantamount to having observed the entire day. So as soon as he removed his shoes, he was ready to go to the Beis HaMerchatz to conclude the Avelus, because the day has been observed as a day of Avelus. Even a portion of the day is tantamount to the entire day. So here we have another example where Rav was careful not to relate directly to a tragedy, rather to only imply it indirectly. Rav Chiya got the message, and he was Mekayim Dinei Avelus. Continues the Gemara. Hahu de Amar. There was this fellow who, whenever he had a disagreement with somebody, he would insist on litigation. Take it to Bezin. He wouldn't compromise out of Bezin. Hahu de Amar, dunu dini, conduct my din. So this strange behavior prompted some raised eyebrows. Amri, they said, Shema mina, midun kaase. Apparently, this fellow originates from Shevet Dun, who were involved heavily in dine Torah, the chsiv, as the pasuk describes the bracha which Yaakov gave Shevet Dan, Dan Yodin Amoy, Ke'achat Shetei Yisrael, he's going to judge his nation. So they were heavily involved in this concept of Dinei Torah and litigation, and that's why this fellow would insist on constant litigation. Continues the Gemara, Hahuda v'ka'azel v'amar. There was this other fellow who would stroll along and would constantly extol the virtues of the seashore. He would say, Akeif yama, on the seashore, asisni birasa, I'm going to establish my palace. So he apparently favored the seashore very much. Batku, so they examined Vashkichu, and they discovered the Mizvun Kasi, that he originates from Shevet Zvulun. Tichsiv, and we find that Zvulun was very much connected to this type of area. Yaakov Avinu gave Zvulun a bracha, Zvulun l'choif yam mishkein. He's going to dwell on the seashores in order to be involved in business, export, import business, to supply parnasa for his brother Yisachar, who was Isaac with Torah. That explains why this fellow would always favor the seashore, because he came from Zvulun, who had an affinity to the choif yamim. It's interesting that somewhat related to this topic, the Chassam Sofer points out that we find many poskim amongst Klal Yisrael, many halachic authorities throughout history, were either kohanim or levim. Example is the Shach, who was a kohen, the Taz was a Levi. And he says, why? Why is that so? So he says, because Yaakov Avinu's bracha to Shevet Levi was Yoiru Mishpatecha LeYaakov V'Seiros LeYisrael. They were meant to be the teachers of Klal Yisrael. That's what we find, indeed, that there was a disproportionate amount of Poskim, Meirei Ra, who were either Kohanim or Levim, in accordance with this bracha, allotted to them by Yaakov Avinu. Now, it's not to say that a Yisrael can't rise to that position as well, but generally speaking, on the whole, we find a large amount, a disproportionate amount of Poskim and Meirei Ra, who were either Kohanim or Levim. So we have three incidents of the Gemara where the verbal expression indicated something, indicated a deeper meaning. Continues the Gemara. Getting back to Bedikas Chametz, V'hashta the Kaimla, now that we have established, the Lekuli Alma Oir Urtu, all agree that when the Mishnah says, Oir Larba Osar, Boikinus HaChametz, Oir is in reference to nighttime. So the Bedikas Chametz takes place the night preceding the 14th day of Nisan. Why so early? Michti, let's analyze. Bein Rabbi Yehuda, or Bein Rabbi Meir. Both, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, who have a discussion a bit later in the Perek, regarding the deadline. What's the latest that a person can eat chametz on Erev Pesach? So one says up until the 4th hour, one says up until the 5th hour, but all agree that that's only a din de Rabbanon, who created a safeguard in order to ensure that we avoid transgression of Dinei Torah. But all agree that Min HaTorah Chametz in the Asr Elam Sheish Shoas Olmalo. It's only from 6 and on, meaning from Chatzos and on, that one is not allowed to eat Chametz. One may make sure that his Chametz is removed from his possession. So if that's the case, that the Din Torah only begins at Chatzos, let us make B'dikas Chametz at the beginning of the 6th hour. Why do you have to advance it to the previous night? So Rashi explains that Bishus means the beginning of the 6th hour. So for example, if Erev Pesach begins 6 a.m., ends 6 p.m., so we have 12 equal hours. Chatzais would be 12 midday. And B'dikas Chametz should begin an hour before that. The beginning of the 6th, meaning at 11 o'clock. This will ensure that there's no more Chametz come Chatzais. So why do you have to advance it all the way to the night preceding the 14th day? Says the Gemara v'chitim, perhaps you'll say, the reason is because zrizin makdimah lemitzvahs. When one approaches a mitzvah, he doesn't have to do it bezrizis, speedily, at the first available opportunity. And that's why we begin the night before. If that's the reason, nivdik mitzafra. It would be sufficient to do b'dikas chametz right in the morning, as soon as day arrives. That's early enough. You're not waiting till last minute, till chatzos. You're doing b'dikas chametz early in the morning to be bezrizis. And that accomplishes Zrizis, as we're going to see from Avraham Avinu. Dichsiv ubayom hashmini yimol b'sar lasek. On the 8th day, you do bris mila. Utanya, we learned, kolayim kulay kasher l'mila. Really, mila can be conducted throughout the entire 8th day. You don't have to do it right in the morning. Unless you're Zrizim makdimah l'mitzvahs. People who are conscientious, or a Zrizim, they advance the mitzvah. They do it at the first possible opportunity, right in the morning. Shenemar, as we find by Avraham Avinu, who conducted himself with Zrizis. Vayashkim Avram HaBoker. So when Avram went to do the Akedah Yitzchak, he got up right in the morning. to be Bezrizus. So what do we see from here? That as long as you do the mitzvah at the first available opportunity of the day, we don't see that Avraham Avinu got up in the middle of the night to set out on the journey to do Akedas Yitzchak. It was enough to get up in the morning. That is sufficient to accomplish the concept of Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvahs. See here as well. As long as you advance it to the first portion of the day, you do Bdikas Chametz right in the morning, you've already accomplished Zrizim Magdim LeMitzvahs. So why is it that we have to go ahead and advance it to the previous night? Now, incidentally, we speak about Vayashkim Avraham HaBoker, where he went to Akedas Yitzchak, Bezrizus. There's a kasha. What's the big deal of Akedas Yitzchak? Hashem instructed him to sacrifice Yitzchak. A person gets a direct instruct from Hashem. He's not going to fulfill it. What was so unique about Akedas Yitzchak? So I saw some Sfarim explain. It was more than the actual act and setting out on the journey. It was the Zrizus involved, the emotional commitment, the excitement. Sure, he's going to do it. He got to see it directly from Hashem. How could he ignore that? But the fact is that he didn't do it grudgingly. He was fully committed, b'mesiras nefesh, with excitement, happiness, and zrizus. That is what's so special and unique about Akedas Yitzchak. So in any case, we see that the zrizus of Avram only commenced at the beginning of that morning. And apparently that's enough to be considered zrizus here as well. Why does Bdikas Chametz have to be the night before? Amar Menachem Bar Yitzchak, you know what the reason is? B'shah shebnei Adam mitzuin b'tehim. Chacham established the Zman B'dika at a time where people are generally home, which is nighttime. That's number one. And number two, v'or haner yafal b'dika. That's a time where candlelight properly functions and is beneficial for the B'dika. Nighttime, Rashi says, by day the candlelight actually darkens things a bit. So, for these two reasons, the fact that the homeowner is around, the fact that the Oyer Ner is properly functioning, because we know when it's meant to use a Ner for the Dikas Chametz, the Gemara learns it from a Pasuk. So that's a time where the Ner is properly functioning. So for these two reasons, the Chum established the Zman B'dika, specifically the night preceding the 14th day of Nisan. Amar Rabbi Hilkach, as a result of this, meaning, since it's halachically mandated, that's the proper time for Bdikas Chametz, it's not just because it's Zrizim Magdimen that we push it back to the night before, but there are two very well-established reasons for that time frame. If that's the case, Hilkach Haitzubim Rabbanon, this young Talmud Chacham must be careful not to miss the time of Bdikas Chametz. Liliftach Bi'idnei, he shouldn't introduce the Seder HaLimud, he shouldn't begin a study session. Be'urta the Tleisar, on that evening, following the 13th day, the Nagi Abasar, which leads into the 14th day, meaning the night between 13 and 14, he shouldn't go ahead and engage in serious learning. Why do a mashchale shmaita? Perhaps he'll get engrossed in his learning, and as a result, he might miss entirely Bdikas Chametz. So they asked Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak the following question. If one rents out his home on the 14th day of Nisan, who is obligated to do Bidikas Chametz? Is it the landlord that is obligated to do so? Why? The Chamir de Deyu. Whose Chametz is in the home? It's the landlord's chametz. So he's responsible to remove it. Or perhaps, it's incumbent on the tenant to do bdika. Why? Because where is the chametz present? It's in his possession, his property. He's now the occupier of this property. So perhaps the chiv is on him. So that's the question. Who has to do bdika's chametz? The landlord or the tenant? Says more toshma, we have a raya from a price. If a person rents out his home, who needs to go ahead and hang the mezuzah? The renter, the tenant. So what do we see? That a mitzvah which pertains to the property at hand is incumbent upon the tenant to fulfill. Likewise, he must do bdikas chametz as well. Ha samuda hu. Says him over there, it's different. Ha omar of Mesharshi. Because Mesharshi explained that mezuzah chayvas hadorhi. The chiv of mezuzah is connected to the one that's dwelling, the dor. The mezuzah is there to protect him. So he's the one that is the chiv of mezuzah and doesn't relate to the landlord. Ha chamai. However, over here by bdikas chametz, where that factor is not present, that leads us to the question, who is obligated to do bdikas chametz? The landlord whose chametz is his, or the tenant who occupies his dwelling? Let's perhaps see Rashi inside who explains this for us. So we have on the bottom of the Amud these wide lines of Rashi. So it's going to be in the third line. It says Rashi, the chamira de dehu. Why would the landlord be obligated? Because it's his chametz, the chametz rabbi shalayu. It's his chametz that's there. Or is it the tenant? Because b'rishusei kai, shari'at habayi shalayu, now the home is his. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us that a person who rents a home, it's as though he's buying it for that day. So it's considered his property. He is mechuyev b'dikas chametz. We bring the raya from the halacha of mezuzah, which is obligatory upon the tenant. Lastly, mezuzah, alma midi de mitzvah alei rami. Apparently, any mitzvah related to this property relates to the tenant. Says the Gemara, no, mezuzah is different because it's chayves hador. Lefishem shamarte. The dweller is obligated to mezuzah because it's there to watch him. That's number one. Number two, uksiv beischa. It says uksavtam amezuzah beischa. And we learn bi ascha, the place where you walk in. Nichnas v'yotzeba. Who is the one that actually uses the home? It's a tenant. So when it comes to mezuzah, he is chayv in the mezuzah. That's over there. Aval hacha, but over here by bdikas chametz de rabbanon. Why is bdikas chametz de rabbanon? Explains Rashi, di mishum bal yiroh bal yimatzah. Because there's no concern of the iser bal yiroh bal yimatzah that not meant to actually have chametz in your possession, which is a din Torah. That really doesn't apply over here. Why? Ha'amr l'kaman, because the Gemara a bit later is going to tell us, to address bal yiroh, all you need to do is bitul. This sagalei bebitul ba'alma. What does bitul mean? As soon as he diverts his mind from it, he expresses disinterest in the chametz. He disengages from the chametz. Umashuli ka'afra, and relates to it like dirt. And he expresses himself by saying all the chametz in this home should be bottle like dirt. That is sufficient to avoid the issur bal yiroh bal yimatzah. The issur no longer applies. So, as soon as he does bittul, the maske, the soicher, is no longer a concern of an isseter. However, the Rabbanu certainly required bedika on top of bittul. Now, in this case, we'd like to know, this effort, this toil of going and doing bedika's chametz, mutal, who is obligated to do so? That's the question of the Gemara. And this question was posed to Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Continues the Gemara. Amar lehu Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman responded with a raya. Tanina, we learned in a braisa. It depends when the rental took place. Hamaske bais lachaver. If one leases his home to a fellow, imat shalei masar lemafteches chol abaasa. If the 14th day of Nisan, Erev Pesach arrived prior to the actual transfer of the keys, transfer of the property. In which case, the chiyav of bdikas chametz has already arrived prior to the transfer of the property to the tenant. In that case, ala maska livdak. Certainly, the landlord has to do bdikas chametz because he can't absolve himself of the chiyav, which has already been activated when the property was in his possession. However, v'im mishem moser lemafteches chal al ba'asa, if the 14th day arrived after he had already passed the keys on to the renter. So the tenant already occupied the dwelling before the 14th day arrived. In that case, ala soicher livdek. The chiv is on the soicher. So it depends when the lease took effect. If the 14th day arrived prior to the transfer of the property, then the masker is already chayv b'dikas chametz and he has to go and proceed to check for chametz. But if the rental took effect prior to the arrival of Erev Pesach, in that case, the soicher is obligated to do bdikas chametz. So we have a conclusion to our shaila. Who does bdikas chametz? It depends when the lease took effect. So that was the first question they asked him. Says the Gemara, there was another question. Bo minei Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So they asked him the following shot. Hamaske bais l'chaveri barba asr. If one rents out his home on the 14th day of Nisan. Now, in contrast with the previous discussion where we knew with certainty that this home was not yet checked. In this case, it's ambiguous. We don't know whether or not the masker, the landlord, indeed fulfilled his obligation. Right, the property was transferred on the 14th, in which case we concluded earlier the masker has a chiv, is responsible for b'digas chametz, but we're not sure whether he fulfilled his obligation or not. So how do we proceed? Do we say cheskase bodek? The home is presumed to have been checked. Let's assume that the landlord fulfilled his obligation. He was a good boy. He did b'digas chametz. Oy, in cheskase bodek, or perhaps there's no reason to presume. We can't assume with certainty that the home was checked. L'mayinaf kamina. Says, what application, what halachic application are we concerned with? Meaning, you have a shaila. Was it checked or not? L'shaila, let's just go ask him. Let's go back to the landlord and ask him whether or not he checked. Explains the Ran, because even if there is a svar to say that the home was checked, there's a chazaka that it was already checked. But we know that even when there's a chazaka, there's a chiv to verify. If it's easily verifiable, you're meant to do so. So you can't just blindly rely on a chazaka when you can go and verify it easily. Therefore, says the Gemara, what's the difference? Whether it's cheskase badek or not, either way, you're meant to go ask the landlord and find out what happened. Says the Gemara, the less lahid lish yule. The landlord is not around. It's inaccessible and we can't ask him. So now the question remains. Does the soicher have to go exert himself and do b'dikas chametz? Or can we assume that the landlord fulfilled his responsibilities and did b'dika properly? La'atruchi lahai, mai. The question is whether the soicher has to be matriach himself. Can he assume that it was checked or not? Omalahu, Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak responded, Tanisua, we can have clarity regarding this question from the following brisa, where we see that we do say, cheskasei batek. The Brisa says, hakol ne'emanim al bir chametz. All are trusted. When it comes to bir chametz, they come to us and they tell us, look, we're testifying that the homeowner indeed fulfilled his responsibilities. He did bir chametz. We believe them. Afilu noshim, even women. Afilu avodim, servants. Afilu ktanim, even ktanim, who are generally not believed. They don't have the ability to testify. An isha, a slave, a katan. We trust them. That bedika here was accomplished. My time of Mehemni. Why are they to be believed? Apparently, that's because there's a chazaka that the homeowner did it properly. Let's take a look at Rashi, so it explains this portion of the Gemara. So Rashi here is three lines from the bottom of the Amud, right at the end of that third line, beginning with the words Ne'manin al Bir Chametz. So these fellows are trusted when it comes to Bir Chametz. Lahoid Barba Asar, when they come and they relate to us on the 14th day of Nisan, Shabbatku Baal of Emesh, that the homeowner, they observed the homeowner as he was doing B'dikas Chametz. So we trust them. My time and Emon, why they believe? Halav B'nei Asudanino, they don't have the ability to say Edus, so why do we trust them? Apparently, Lav Mishum, to Belav Amir Ditu Nami, because even in absence of their statement, Nami Mechaskin Le Batuk, we would presume that this house has been checked. The Vadai Le Over Zeal Divi Chacham. Because we assume that this fellow certainly fulfilled his obligation. Even if, say, this person is an unlearned fellow when it comes to other things. Certainly when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, he's considered like a Chaver. A Chaver is a person who has a high status of Ne'emanus. And this fellow, even if he's an Amoritz, when it comes to B'dika, we view him, we treat him with high regard. That colors reason, because all are conscientious when it comes to B'dikas Chametz. Rabbi David says it's once a year. Everybody does it with excitement. And there's all reason to believe that this fellow fulfilled his obligation properly. Now, just one thing. If that's the case, then why do we need the testimony of the Isha and the Katan? So the Farshim explained that's because of the point that we mentioned earlier, the name of the Ran, that even when there's a chazaka, you need to verify somewhat. So in this case, since it's just a verification element, it's sufficient to get that verification from the Eved, the Ish, and the Katan. But certainly, of course, it's based on the precept that there's a chazaka. That sets the stage. That gives us the assumption that there's a true bedika that has been that has taken place here. And now we can go and trust the Isha, the Eved, and Katan, who provide that additional verification. Continues the Gemara on the bottom line. My time of Mehemni. So why? Why is that so that we believe the Isha, the Katan, and the Eved? Lav Mishum the Cheskasi Badik. Apparently, because the home is presumed to be checked. The Kesavar, Al Kol Chavirim, Heim Eitz Abdikas Chametz. When it comes to Abdikas Chametz, there's excitement in the air. It's a once a year mitzvah. All Yidden are regarded as Chavirim, as people of high regard, and are trustworthy when it comes to fulfilling this mitzvah. Where do you find this concept that a person is trusted to fulfill his obligation? The Sanya Chavir Shemes. So we have a chaver who is a person who is trustworthy, and he passed away, v'niach megura melei peres. And he left over a storeroom full of produce, afilu heim b'nei yoyman, even if they were produced today. Harei mecheskas mesukonim. They are considered to be kosher. We assume that he separated tumas and maestros, because a chaver would not let go of something which wasn't kosher. So likewise by us. Let's assume that when it comes to b'digas chametz, all people are considered like chaverim and trustworthy, that they fulfilled their obligations, and as we explained, since we have the additional element of verification as well, which is presented by the Isha, the Eved, the Katan, we're good to go. So this is a raya that we say cheska soy batik. Says one, we might. How do you know that? Dilma shan yacha. Perhaps here it's different. Mishum deka amri hani, because we have testimony from these fellows, which provide us with the facts. So perhaps we don't say cheska soy batik. It's only because we have testimony from these people. And for some reason, the Gemara is assuming that for some reason or other, when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, we're going to trust them, although generally we don't accept Eidos from the Isha. Perhaps here it's different. And that is the reason why we can safely assume this home has been checked, not because of Chazok. Says, how can you say that? Atu Hamir Dehani. Are we going to say that the words expressed by these people who don't really have Nemanus, Midim Meshasha Ispe, does it have value? You can't rely on their testimony. They don't have nemanas. So that can't be the reason why we assume this home is checked. Elamai. So what are you going to say? The chazkasi badik. It's because we apply the chazaka and we assume that the home was properly checked. If that's the case, then we have a problem with the wording of the brisa. Hi, yakol nemanim. Why does the brisa say that all are trusted? The brisa should have simply stated, kol abatim b'cheskas b'dukim abasar. Iboyle. The Bible just said that all homes are considered to be, are presumed to be, becheskes badik, once the 14th day arrives. Rather than say that all are believed to speak and to say about Dikas Chametz, the Isha, the Eved, and the Katan, it's unrelated to the topic at hand. Elamai, so what are you going to say? That the reason why we assume this house has been checked is not because of the Chazok. Rather, it's because Mishum Amir Dahani, because these fellows related it to us. Okay, so now we can have a raya in the reverse. What was the question presented to Rav Nachman? When we're uncertain as to the status of a home, do we say there's a chazak that was checked or not? So based on this conversation that we're having, it would seem from the Braisa that there's actually no chazak. Why? Elamai, so what are you going to say, Mishum Amir Dahani? That the only reason why we assume that it's checked is because of the Eidos of these fellows, of the Isha and the Katan and the Eved. Ha loy amri hani loy. Apparently, otherwise, if they wouldn't have related that fact to us, we would never assume this house has been checked. It's pretty clear from the wording of the Braisa. If that's the case, tipshit minay, you conclude from the Braisa, the ein chazkasi badik, that certainly there's no chazaka that a house has been checked. It's pretty clear from the Braisa. It's only because we have testimony, but otherwise we don't say cheskasi badik. So we have a conclusion to our question that there's no cheskasi badik. Says more loy, actually not. Lo'olam emelah cheskasi badik. Certainly, perhaps there is a chazaka that a house has been properly checked. A person fulfills his obligations properly. How are we going to understand the Braisa? Why is it that we need that the Isha should come and testify? Why isn't chazaka enough? Very simple. We're speaking about a specific case. they, we know with certainty that the homeowner has not checked for chametz. Somebody watched him leave home. He saw that he was not checking the chametz. V'ka'amri hani batkine. What happened was that the isha, the eved and the katan, came along and they told us, you know what? Although there was no bedikah on account of the homeowner, but we ourselves personally checked for chametz in this home. That's the case of the braisa. It's not a question of assumptions. We know with certainty that the homeowner did not do bedikas chametz. The isha is coming and telling us, look, I personally did bedikas chametz. And the braisa here is informing us that we trust the isha. We rely on her job, that she did the bedikas chametz properly. What's the chiddush? Ma'od detema, perhaps I would say, Loi lehem ninhu rabbanon. Chacham cannot believe these fellows who don't have ne'emanus. So we can't trust that they did a proper job. Why would I not believe the isha? Asks Tosfos. Divrei Hamaskal himnu. We know that generally speaking, we trust an isha when it comes to iser. If an isha comes and tells us this meat is kasha, we trust her. So why would I even think to say that we don't trust the isha when she says she herself did bedikas chametz? As Tosfos says, because bedikas chametz involves a tircha yiseirasa v'tzarech diklik gadol. It's a big job. It's monotonous and it's a tircha. It's a great exertion. So perhaps when it comes to this type of job, we have reason not to trust the isha, the eved, and the katan. So perhaps that would be so. Kamash malon, the braisa comes and informs us, not so. We trust them that they did a good job. Kiva the bedikas chametz midrabbanan. Since the entire concept of bedikas chametz is only midrabbanan, why? Midrabbanan who? The midrayisa bebitul ba'amasagile. Because minat Torah. In order to avoid the Isser of Balira, all you need to do is bittel, as Rashi explained to us earlier. You need to nullify the chametz. And by doing so, you've already addressed any concerns midaraisa. So since the entire concept of the bdikas chametz obligation is only midarabonon, heimnu rabonon, midarabonon. The rabonon trusted these fellows in the context of a chiyuv dirabonon. So in conclusion, there's really no raya from this braisa, one way or the other, pertaining to our question, our original shaila. When a person takes possession of a home on Erev Pesach, should we assume that the masker addressed his responsibilities and did bedikas chametz? Do we say cheskasi badek or not? We have no raya from the braisa. Because perhaps the braisa is speaking in a case where we know with certainty that there was no bedikas chametz accomplished at all. The question is a different one. The isha is telling us, look, I myself was by the chametz. Should we trust her? The Baisa comes and tells us, yes, we can trust her, since it only involves a din d'rabban. Let's take a look, perhaps, at Rashi inside. Right off to the left, from where we're holding at the Gemara. Bebitul ba'alma, says Rashi, why man atur is bitul sufficient? Tachsif tashpisu, because the Torah simply uses the word tashpisu. We like sif tavaru. We don't find that the Torah says, you have to go and destroy, remove the chametz. Tashpisu means nullified. Vashpasa delayv yashpasa. If a person in his heart negates the chametz, he expresses disinterest in the chametz, he's been seich das from the chametz, that is sufficient to address his concern. So menatera bittel is enough. However, midrabbanan, they required bidika. Therefore, says the Gemara, continues Rashi, midrabbanan, heimnu rabbanan, b'chiyuv idlesa midrabbanan. The rabbanan believed them, trusted them when it comes to echi, which is merely midrabbanan. They required the chiyuv of bedikas chametz, and likewise they were matir lismech by miras and shneilu to trust these fellows. And certainly the chacham had the ability to trust these individuals when it pertains to a non-deraisa context. Now, while we're discussing bittel, incidentally, this is machlekes in Rashi and Tosfos. How to approach the concept of bittul? What is the essence of bittul? Rashi, as we just learned, says that hashpasa is belayv. And earlier in Amud Aleph, we had the Rashi where he says that it's masiach das. He disengages from the chametz. He expresses disinterest. He treats it like earth. That is considered bittul. So it seems like it's a new concept specific to the context of chametz. Bittul, negation, disinterest. Tosfos, however, learns, Tosfos is in Divrei Hamaskal Midei Raisa, he learns that it's not a new concept. Actually, it's based on the universal concept of Hefker. So according to Tosfos, Bittul is another form or version of Hefker. You're relinquishing ownership of the chametz, and since it's not yours, it's out of your rishus, you don't own it. That's why there's no issa b'al-yor b'al-yimotzah. So according to Rashi, it's a negation. According to Tosfos, it's Hefker. Continues the Gemara. Iboilu, so they ask the following question. Hamaskir bayis l'chaveri b'cheskas badek. A person rents out his home with the explicit assumption that it's been checked. He told him, he informed him, look, I checked this home. It turns out the tenant discovers it's never been checked. Ma, what is Allah? Mi have kemekach tos? Oiloi. Do we view this like a mistaken transaction? And the tenant has full right to go ahead and nullify, invalidate the transaction, the contract, or not. Toshma, let's bring a raya of Abaye. Abaye told us, absolutely not. Even if it turns out that he misled him, the transaction is valid, the contract remains intact. Explains Abaye. Loi mebaye, it's needless to say, ba'asra de lo yavi agra ubotku. That we're speaking about an area where they're not accustomed to pay to hire people to do bedikah. They do it on their own. In that case, certainly, the contract is still intact. We don't say it's a mekach tos. Why? The nichle le'inish, a person is full and well happy and satisfied. L'kiyum a mitzvah v'gufe, to personally fulfill a mitzvah. So the assumption is that the tenant is okay with doing the mitzvah. Ela afilu ba'asur diyavi agra. But even in the case, we're talking about a location where they hire people. The Yavi Agra of a Batku. So now it involves a monetary expense. Even there we say, the assumption is that the tenant is okay with going ahead and having this expense. Why? The Nichale Le'inish. A person is satisfied, a person is happy. The Kiyume Mitzvah B'Moinit, to fulfill a mitzvah with his money. So although the tenant is coming and yelling and screaming, look, I've been misled, I want to invalidate the whole deal. Says Abaye, it's not so. Deep down in his heart, he's really okay with doing a mitzvah, whether personally, whether with his money. And the fact that he's creating a ruckus is merely a ruse. Perhaps he found another property which he prefers, and therefore he's using this as an excuse to invalidate the contract. But halachically speaking, the contract remains in place. So in conclusion, we learned about Bedikas Chametz, which takes place the night preceding the Erev Pesach. We have two reasons for that. Number one, it's a time where generally homeowners are present at home. Number two, during nighttime, candlelight is beneficial. And as a result of this, Abaye says, a person must be careful not to engage in activities which can get him engrossed and cause him to miss out on the opportunity of Bdikas Chametz. Now, what about a rental? Hamaske Bais L'Chaveri. Who's responsible for Bdikas Chametz? Is it the masker, the landlord, or the seicher, the tenant? More tells us it depends when he rented it. If the rental began after the 14th day had already arrived, in which case the Zman B'dikas Chametz, which is the night before, arrived when the property was within the ownership of the masker, in that case the masker is responsible, he does B'dikas Chametz. If the Schiris began before the 14th day arrived, in which case the Zman B'dikas Chametz arrived, when the property was within the possession of the Seicher, in that case the Seicher, the tenant, does B'dikas Chametz. Now, can a seicher safely assume that his landlord fulfilled his responsibilities? So for instance, if he arrives in the property on the 14th day, can he assume that the landlord did bedikas chametz? Do we say cheskasoi badik or not? The Gemara leaves that off with a question mark. And the Gemara concludes that even if he actually misled him to think that the bedikas chametz was done in the property, the transaction is still valid. And the reason is because we assume that a person is perfectly fine with the opportunity to do a mitzvah, whether personally or even if it involves a monetary expense. Continues the Gemara Tanan Hassam, we learned elsewhere in the Mishnah. Minat Torah, one must refrain from chametz, starting from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Likewise, he must make sure that the chametz has been removed from his property from that point onward. That's Minat Torah. However, the Rabban were concerned about possible confusion with timing, perhaps on a cloudy day. The sundial won't be clearly noticeable. Therefore, they advanced the Isser, they pushed it back an hour or two. Tanan Hassan went to the Mishnah, Rabbi Omer, Oichlin Kol Chamish. one is permitted to eat chametz during the first 5 hours of Erev Pesach. V'soifim b'tchilas sheish, and he burns at the beginning of the 6th hour. So if the day begins at 6 a.m., ends at 6 p.m., the achilas chametz can take place up until 11 o'clock, the first 5 hours of the day, and then he begins the sreifa. So Chacham pushed back the Isser. They advanced it an hour, rather than waiting till Chatzais. They pushed it back an hour. Rabbi Doimer, they pushed it back 2 hours. Oichlin kol arba, one is permitted to eat chametz for the first 4 hours of that day, until 10 o'clock. V'toilin kol chamish, the next hour you're in limbo. You don't eat, but you don't burn. You still have anah. V'soifa b'tchila shesh, sreifa begins at the beginning of the 6th, meaning at 11 o'clock. Says Ma dekuli alma mia, it appears that all agree, chametz mishesheis l'mal aser, that min haTorah, the iser begins at chatzos. One may no longer have chametz in his possession from chatzos onward. Because if the iser would only begin at night, explains Rashi, there would be no room for concern of confusion. Everybody knows nighttime is nighttime. So there would be no room for these gzeiros of these harchakos of Ramei and Rabbi. Apparently it's because the iser begins at midday. And midday can create confusion. Therefore, the Chacham saw a need to distance you, according to Meir, 1 hour, according to Yehuda, 2 hours before Chatzos, you must stop eating. And that's because the Isser begins at Chatzos. Says Minolan, how do we know that the Isser begins at Chatzos, that one has to get rid of his chametz from Chatzos and on? Omar Abaye Trei Kroik Sidi. We have two psukim, which seem to contradict each other and will lead us to this conclusion that there is a chiyuv to have your chametz out of your possession beginning from chatzos. One pasuk says, "Ksiv shivas yomim se'or lo yimotzi boteichem." So for the entire 7 days of Pesach, you may not have se'or, a form of chametz, in your home. So the entire 7 days. We have another pasuk which says, "Ach b'yom rishon tashpisu sorim b'teichem," that on the first day of Pesach, you meant to remove, to nullify the chametz from your house. Apparently, you've already entered Pesach, and now you're going to do hashpasa. You're going to remove the chametz. It doesn't need to be gone the entire 7 days, as is indicated in the first pasuk. Okay, so how do you understand these two pasukim? Says the Gemara, "L'rabbis arba'a osa l'bir." Apparently, the second pasuk, that "ach b'yom rishon tashpisu," is in reference to erev Pesach. B'yom rishon is the day preceding Pesach. Certainly, one cannot have chametz in his possession throughout the entire 7 day period of Pesach. When the pasuk says that on the first day, you meant to remove the chametz, it's not referring to the first day of Pesach itself, rather to erev Pesach. B'yom rishon, the day that precedes Pesach. Says, "Well, how do you know?" Perhaps the pasuk of Ach B'yom Rishon is coming to teach us that you must remove your chametz even during that first night. You can't have chametz the night of the 15th. It's not to say that on the 14th day you can't have chametz. It's only pertaining to the 7 days of Pesach. But the chiddush is that even on that first night you may not have chametz. Why does the Torah have to teach us that? The Talmud of Chachamim, perhaps I would think, Yomim Ksiv, the first pasuk which says Shivas Yomim, Sor L'Yimotzi B'Teichem, use the word Yomim, days. Yomim in, perhaps only days. Leila Slay, but not nights, meaning that first night of Pesach, you can still have Chometz. Kamash Malon, Afilu Leilis. That's why the second pasuk comes to teach us that even on that first night, you must make sure that you're free of Chometz. So Ach B'Yom Rishon tells you, As soon as that first day comes in, as soon as nighttime arrives, on that first day of Pesach, you must make sure to remove your chametz. But it's not to say that on Erev Pesach you can't have chametz. Says the Gemara, "Hu lo yitzrichle." That wouldn't be necessary for the pasuk to teach us. We already know from elsewhere that on the first night of Pesach you may not have chametz. How do I know that? To iskish hashbasa so'er l'achilas chametz. Because we see that there's a connection between chametz removal and the iser of eating chametz. That's one connection, which we're going to see soon. And there's actually another connection as well. V'achilas chametz, achilas matzah. We find that there's a connection between the iser of eating chametz and the mitzvah of eating matzah. So we have a triple connection. removal of chametz to eating chametz, eating chametz to eating matzah. Where do we find this connection? Hashpasa sa'or lachilas chametz. We find that hashpasa sa'or is connected to the iser of eating chametz. Tchsiv shivas yamim sa'or leimatzah b'teichem. So during the 7 days of Pesach, sa'or is not meant to be found in your homes. Kichol echel machmetz is v'nichrusa. Because if a person eats chametz, he'll get karas. So here we see that hashpasa is connected to achila. V'achilas chametz, achilas matzah. And likewise, we find that achilas chametz is connected to the mitzvah achilas matzah in the following pasuk. Tchsiv kol machmetz es leisvei chelu. Not meant to eat chametz. B'chol moshvei seichem toichlu matzahs. You meant to eat matzahs throughout all your areas. So we see that the isser of eating chametz is connected to mitzvah matzah. Now, here's the punchline. Uksiv bebe matzah. We find that when it comes to the time frame of the mitzvah matzah, the pasuk says, be'erev toichlu matzahs. We eat matzahs during the evening of Pesach. So what do we see? That the mitzvah of achilas matzah commences at the night, the first night of Pesach. So now we'll connect everything, one to the other. Since matzah begins at night, chametz, which is connected to matzah, also begins at night. And likewise, hashpas asar, the requirement to remove chametz from your possession, which is connected to the iser achilas chametz, which begins at night, that too begins at night. So we already know that from this formula. And there's no need for the pasuk to teach us that one may not have chametz in possession on the first night of Pesach. So apparently the pasuk of Achbayim Arishin is coming to extend the Isra of chametz back, advance it back to the Erev Pesach. And that's how we know that on Erev Pesach itself, we must remove the chametz from our possession. Says the Gemara, okay, let's go a step back. Ve'ehimah l'rabis le'el yudal l'bir. Perhaps you must remove the chametz already back the night of the 14th. How do we know that it begins at Chatzos on the 14th? B'yoyim k'siv. The pasuk specifically says Ach b'yoyim rishon, that this concept only applies to daytime of Erev Pesach. Ve'ehimah mitzafer, perhaps from the morning. Ach chalak. The pasuk says Ach b'yoyim rishon. Ach mitigates things. It's memait. Apparently, says Rashi, we take that day and we split it into two. Until Chatzos, it's mutar to have chametz. And from Chatzos and onward, it's also to have chametz. So in conclusion, we have the pasuk of Shivas Yomim Sor Leimatzah B'Teichem, which comes to teach us that throughout the entire 7 day period, there's no chametz in our possession. In fact, we know that even the first night you can't have chametz because we learned that from the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. The second pasuk of Ach B'Yom Rishon is coming to teach us that the Isser is applied even to Erev Pesach and on, from Chatzos of Erev Pesach. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We began with the incident where Rav avoided directly referencing a tragedy regarding his parents, because a person is not meant to explicitly speak about a tragedy. We learned about this fellow who insisted on litigating all his matters, and it turned out that he comes from Sheva Dun, or they assumed that he came from Sheva Dun. And we have the fellow who extolled the virtue of the seashores, and they concluded that he belongs to Sheva Zvulun, who are very much connected to the seashores. We learned that the Zman of Dikas Chametz is Leil Yudalit for the following two reasons. Number one, because the homeowner is generally found in his home at that point. And number two, the Oyer HaNer is Yafel Abedika during nighttime. Abaye says the person is meant to make sure that he doesn't get overly involved in an activity which will distract him from Bedikas Chametz. Now what about a rental? The Gemara says, well, if he rented it on Erev Pesach, then the masker is already chayiv b'dikas chametz, and he must fulfill that obligation. If he rented it before Erev Pesach, then the seicher is b'dik. The seicher cannot necessarily assume that the masker fulfilled his obligation, and we concluded that even if he misled him, the transaction is valid. We assume that a person is fully willing to fulfill a mitzvah personally, or even if it involves monetary expense. We learned that although min haTorah, the issa only begins at Chatzos, the Chachamim established a hachaka to safeguard a person from confusion. So according to Remeir, you stop eating chametz an hour before Chatzos, according to Rabbi, 2 hours before Chatzos. How do we know that the issa of chametz begins at Chatzos? The Gemara concludes, because we have a pasuk which says, Ach b'yom harishon. So harishon here is a reference to the day before Pesach. Ach is coming to tell you half of that day has a issa of chametz. And b'yoyim harishon, the word b'yoyim, comes to teach us that this extension only applies to the daytime of Erev Pesach and not to the previous night.